May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we're continuing our journey with Jesus through the lens of Mark. And in this part of Mark's narrative, we're seeing Jesus in teaching mode. And in particular, we're seeing Jesus continuing to subvert the expectations of society. This time last week, we heard Jesus talking about the challenges of worldly wealth in the context of the kingdom of God. And today, we're looking at power dynamics. As often happens in the Gospels, Jesus' teaching moment comes as a result of a question that he's been asked. And throughout the Gospel narratives, we see various people stepping forward to ask Jesus things based on propositions that he promptly overturns. And today, it's the turn of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, two disciples who are big figures in their own right, as James the Apostle, whose way many people follow to Santiago de Compostela, and John, held by many to be the John who himself wrote a gospel, and indeed to whom this very college is dedicated. But today, they enter our story as a pair, the sons of Zebedee. And they ask Jesus something which in many ways is completely understandable and reasonable. They're looking ahead to when Jesus is reigning in glory. And they ask him if one of them can sit at his right hand and one at his left, i.e. the two most important places flanking the king himself. And let's be fair to the sons of Zebedee. It's not unusual or completely unreasonable for people to look for advancement, for promotion, for preferment. But Jesus is quick to check their instincts. He does two things. Firstly, he maps out the cost of being part of his mission. This is not about glory in the world's terms. It is not about sitting on a cushioned throne with people bringing you fine wine and delicious food all day, and neither is it lording it over others as a despotic tyrant might, making others subject to your whims. Being part of the mission of Jesus means receiving his baptism and drinking his cup. It means being embraced by God and being encompassed by all that his love means for us and the world. Sometimes that will fill us with boundless joy, but often it won't be easy. And it certainly won't mean relaxing into positions of perceived power and influence without consequence or responsibility. And Jesus then goes on to set out the sort of society that he does want to build. In the face of structures of tyranny, Jesus' kingdom will be based on service. And it will be led by him, the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve. He is the example from which the lifeblood of a kingdom of loving service can flow. It's important here, I think, to stress that in calling us to a life of service, Jesus is categorically not calling us into the kind of actions which give up our agency, our self-worth, or our well-being. Quite the opposite. It is because he loves and values us so much that he wants to build a world in which we love and value each other just as much, in which service to each other becomes not something we've been dragged to do, kicking and screaming, but the natural behavior of people who love each other. That is not naively to say that we're all going to like each other all of the time. It is not to say that as a group of people, we're not going to get on each other's nerves or do things that annoy each other. It is, however, to suggest that our starting point might be to value each other, especially those in our community who might miss our immediate gaze. Those who might feel left behind or left out. The quiet voices. The silent voices. One of the most powerful ways of building a community of love and respect can simply be to start by noticing each other. As part of getting to know the college in this last week or so, I, along with the dean, have been privileged to get to meet many of the wonderful staff teams and to see their work. We've been in the greenhouses that nurture some of the beautiful plants in our gardens. We've been in the kitchens where all the food for this place is prepared on a regular basis. I've met with the porters, the medical staff, the welfare staff, and many others who keep this amazing place not just going, but thriving. It has meant that I've noticed more. I've stopped and noticed the flower border by the kitchen bridge. I've noticed the porters patiently helping students who've just arrived but already lost their ID cards. And I've thought about the roast potatoes and the roast lamb in the kitchen pretty much every hour since. I read an article recently about another interesting example of a group who have to think a lot about how a community works together, and that group is urban planners. A particular priority over the years for this group of urban planners was to improve traffic flow and to reduce accidents in particular towns and cities. And one experiment which has been tried in a few places across Europe has been to remove traffic signs altogether. The idea being that without physical signs all over the place, drivers, pedestrians, and others have to actually notice each other, to pay attention to each other. An article in Der Spiegel quotes Hans Mondermann, who boasts in the title of Dutch traffic guru, and he says that relying on the road signs strips us of the most important thing, the ability to be considerate. And so they've moved to a community in which, in order to function, they have to look at each other. And in so doing, they pay attention to each other, and they notice each other, and they build a more interconnected society. When we notice, life becomes richer. And life becomes richer because it isn't simply filled with our own priorities. It weaves together the wonderful diversity of all of us into God's stunning, at times perplexing, but always beautiful tapestry. And so back to James and John, those provocative sons of Zebedee. They asked about positions of power. Jesus answered by setting out a completely different vision. But in so doing, he doesn't dismiss them. He notices them. He doesn't send them away or ignore them. Instead, he focuses on them and engages directly with them. "The cup that I drink, you will drink," he says. He notices them. He loves them. He leads them on. He serves them as the Son of Man who gives up everything so that they, just like us, might share with him in his kingdom, in which through serving each other, we are all set free. Amen.